Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Check it out, Jordan.
We're going to skip over hour number two. Imagine that. Got a lot to get into today as the Saints have made their selection in the first round.
Really excited about Taliese. I think he's big. He's athletic. He's extremely physical. I think he's a culture builder type personality.
Hey, it's what you need. It's Friday, Friday. It is what you need. And I guess we can sit there and go, oh, man. Saints would have hit on Trevor Penny. The Saints would have maybe thought a little ahead on Ryan Ramczyk. It was there. We see, here's the thing. You know, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have had the opportunity to select the number one defensive player in the entire NFL draft, whoever that is for you. Dallas Turner. It's there at 14. It's unbelievable. None of that happens unless the Falcons go Falcon. They take Michael Penix at 8. Bo Nix goes to the Denver Broncos. 6 quarterbacks go not just in the first round. 6 quarterbacks go before the Saints pick at 14. Unbelievable. Jake Daniels, Malik Nabers. They went before the Saints got there as well. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, the third Tiger to go in the first round. He went to the Jacksonville Jaguars at 23. Unreal. Malik Nabers, a giant in the Big Apple. And Jane Daniels to the Commanders. You know, if you're an LSU fan, you're sitting there going, we got 3 first-round picks on offense if you only had a defense. You only had a defense. Jim Nagy really thinks the Saints got a solid player here as well. And like I said, look, it's what you needed. That's why I said it's the most relaxing draft that I know I was going to have in covering. It had to be a tackle. There was no doubt it had to be a tackle. Has to be a tackle. Taliese Fuaga from Oregon State. The stats, the numbers, they're so impressive, obviously, when you're looking at what they had to do and where they had to go. 339 pass blocking snaps, 12 quarterback pressures allowed. This is 2023, this past season. More importantly, He gave up 0 sacks. 0 sacks is what he gave up. So that ought to tell you maybe what kind of player you sort of have. Also, though, you heard Coach talking about a culture-setting foundational piece for this team. We're going to get to Fuaga, and we're going to get to DA. But I want you to listen to what Jim Nagy has to say about what kind of player he thinks Fuaga is.
I'd start with just like who the guy is. He was easy to do on tape. Let me start with that. Really easy to do. Desmond Howard said it on, he kind of quoted me on the TV. He's nimble. He's a really nimble, big human being, and he's a bully. He just gets after people. Second level, he punches guys to the ground, stays after people, plays to the whistle. And is a really high-end athlete. Like, usually those guys that are, you know, kind of rough, physical, aggressive guys, like, have a limitation athletically, and this guy is a really good athlete. Like, he's played on the right side. I think he could play on the left side, but he could play right tackle, guard. He's versatile. But I shared this story with Jeff Ireland. Jeff called me right after the pick, or a little bit after the pick, and I told him we had a stretch and run period on Monday at the Senior Bowl, and I'm trying to learn all these guys, right? Like we have a wall full of headshots. As soon as they accept their Senior Bowl invite, we put a headshot up. So I try to learn the faces and put names with them. And I grabbed him, and I had to learn his name. You know, I told him I don't like screwing up guys' names. So how do you pronounce your first name? He said Taliese. I'm like, okay. I practiced it a couple times. Like, I got it. And he kind of looked at me, and he's like, you know how many people told me that I shouldn't be coming to this game? And I said, yeah, probably a lot. You know, you're a locked first round pick. He used some choice language, a little bit of choice language. He's just like, I wasn't going to miss this game. I wasn't going to not be here. So that tells, like, he and Leiatu Latu were the two guys that were projected to be high defensive. You know, there hadn't been too many defensive players picked in this draft so far. Well, he was one. Latu was defense. Taliese was offense. But, like, both those guys stopped me at one point or another and told me, like, how many people were telling him not to, to come to the Senior Bowl. So, so I love that. I love how he's wired. He's a competitive guy. He's not afraid. He's got confidence. You probably have already talked to him, and it comes across pretty quick. Like, he's a grown man, and he's got confidence, and I don't think the league is going to be too big for him.
Here's the other thing, too, as you watch the draft unfold, you saw some tackles go. You saw Joe Alt go. You saw some of these other guys kind of go. You're like, oh, man. Fashanu from Penn State, he went before as well to the Jets at 11. You're like, ah, and there's Bo Nix. And there's Brock Bowers at 13. Here's a quick interesting thing. What if Bowers was available at 14?
When you have six quarterbacks go, you know, in the first, what was it, 12 picks or 11 picks, whatever it was, 12 picks I think it was, there's six quarterbacks that come off the board, you know, and we knew it was kind of thought, you know, there's a good chance Bowers might go up there in that area, and we knew there was a lot of offensive linemen that were going to go, so I don't know that I was shocked, and yet I would say that's a little unusual.
Yeah, well, and it would have been a thought, Coach DA said, if he was there or not, but at the end of the day, did the tackle situation play out the way you thought?
You know, you never really know how it's going to play out. And like I said, there was a you know, a handful of guys that we really liked. And, you know, we felt like they were all very comparable and very close in terms of talent level, and so they were all graded, you know, pretty closely, and so we felt like there was a good chance that, you know, we'd have one or two of them looking at us at 14, and you know, obviously with six quarterbacks going off the board, it pushed a couple other position players down to us, so I think we were fortunate in that regard.
One of the things Dennis Allen was also asked about was basically what we all feel here, right? I mean, look, I don't even know if I would say I was joking about it. They better have taken a tackle, right? Like, it was a must. Coach was asked, literally, was tackle a must?
Yeah, I think it certainly was a must. You know, obviously, you know, Rams' situation is a little bit up in the air. We still feel confident in Trevor Penning, and yet it's still an unproven commodity, you know. So, you know, James Hurst retiring, this is something that we kind of expected and knew was coming. And so, look, we knew that was going to be a position that we were going to need to, you know, try to address in the draft. And, you know, fortunate for us, like I said, when we started this, you know, it's not all too often that, you know, the depth of the draft and the position of need really marry up, you know, but this happened to be a year that it married up for us.
Yeah, look, and it's what you needed to do. Now, I know Maddie will say, hey, maybe trading down may not have been a bad thing to think of here. Did they think about trading down?
Well, look, we considered a lot of different things, and yet – kind of have to see how the draft plays out and what's available to you when you get to your pick, and if your guy's there that you really, really want, it doesn't make a lot of sense to back up. So there was a scenario, you know, that where we potentially could have backed up a spot or two, but that didn't play out.
I think people would have lost their collective minds if you wouldn't have been able to do that. Although, here's the thing. You were able to take the top defensive player. So the draft did play out to where you probably could have. If you would have had an opportunity to trade down, probably that was an opportunity for you to do so. But again, man, if you can go get a guy that played an entire college football season, and look, I'd even say this, even wherever Penning went, You don't give up a sack, you don't give up a sack. One of the things I did love, too, when you look at the breakdown that ESPN had or the breakdown that NFL Network had, and they kept showing his cut-ups, you heard it there in the NFL Network one. He puts people on the ground. He doesn't get on the ground. I'm not being ugly. I'm not picking. One of my most frequent comments made to Graf or Aaron Summers or where I was sitting or standing next to during training camp or OTAs is, my goodness gracious, how many times Trevor Penning gets put on the floor. Because that's balance. I mean, when you're that monster of a man, 6'7", 6'8", it's hard to get thrown down there unless you lose leverage. And in the ESPN cut-up, and right after they made the take, because I was watching ESPN coverage, they specifically talked about how if you're going to pass rush and you're going to go wide, he's just going to reset and shuffle and anchor down. If you're going to come in with the strength, he's quick enough with his hands and his feet. Like, he's able to move laterally. He's able to move vertically. And that's the thing that really stood out to me just watching that cut-up. Now, again, look, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I've seen Oregon State Beaver football. I haven't. But I listen for certain specific words or things that are talking about certain players. This is not a tackle or a player where the word project is used. Needs to learn to pass block. Needs to learn to run block. Now, Fuaga did talk about not giving up any sacks last season.
That, you know, like, I feel that, you know, some people don't think I can basketball, but, you know, I feel like just being able to show that, like, you know, I have a lot of potential within basketball. You know, I still got a lot of stuff to learn, but, you know, I feel like I'm in the right track with that.
Which is also a good thing. Now, again, you don't give up a sack, that means you can pass block. Can you run block?
I think in the run game, I think some people see that too. Just being able to help and play nastiness. You know, first starting, I didn't play like too well in the run. So, you know, I really try to up my game in that. And I feel like I kind of showed that without through the 2023 season. So,
now, one of the things that I think also was a bit nerve-wracking for, I think, some Saints fans, and it's something that we talked about, obviously, in covering the team. We use it by the word project, right? Project meaning, you know, smaller school, needs to play better, needs to learn an area, an aspect of it. You couldn't take that risk. You need a guy that can come in and start. You need a guy that's proven it against good competition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look, the Pac-12, I would argue, was one or two conference-wise this year. It just legitimately was, right? So when you hear that guy hasn't given up a sack, they played well this year, and he played well this year. But what you like about it as well is you go back to the combine, and I played the bite from Jeff Ireland saying after day one, he went back in the room for about an hour with Clint Kubiak. Hey, who did you like? What kind of players you like? And he verbally said, we want to try to find players that fit the system, which is why I keep saying this is not – I'm telling y'all, folks, unless they go like 1-16, DA, that offensive stat, they're coming back next year. What they did on the offensive side, how you hear them talk, how you hear them communicate, this isn't a two-month, three-month Band-Aid. We hope this offense goes. They're purposely going to try to draft linemen, skill position players that fit this scheme so it can work on the long-term basis. The idea that it's going to change and bring you to the Super Bowl in 3 months, they hadn't even gotten the playbook yet. They're not even allowed to run a play yet, and it's April 26th. You get what I'm getting at? So the point is, it makes sense, and again, keep it simple, stupid, the KISS principle. Find players that are familiar with the system, just like you found coaches or the backups. Nathan Peterman, you're like, who's that guy? Well, he's worked under these coaches. He knows the playbook. He can help teach it. Those are things. Well, Fuaga played in his wide zone scheme, and he's blocked in it, and he was talked about. The scheme at Oregon State is very similar, if not the scheme the Saints are going to use this year on offense.
Yeah, you know, like our bread and butter at Oregon State was a lot of wide zone. You know, I played for Jim Mahalchuk, and, you know, that's like probably Oregon State's bread and butter. we were kind of, I think, kind of known for that, hopefully. But, yeah, you know, we did that basically every game, the wide zone, so.
All right, so that, again, is one of those things that makes a lot of sense. Dennis Allen.
Well, yeah, but, you know, like, I think every team to some extent runs a version of the wide zone, you know. And look, there's a lot of teams in college football that are running, you know, zone scheme blocking. So, yeah, but obviously we were able to see him do it. And I just think he's a tough physical player. And I think that's something that that's what we want to be as a football team. And I think, you know, if you want to be that as a football team, kind of starts up front with your offensive and defensive lines. And I think he'll bring that demeanor to our group.
All right, when we come back, Rafael Esparza joins us, Mr. Vegas. This is Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Clay Young here with John Conroy, the founder and owner of Pest Stop, your do-it-yourself pest control solution. John, we are approaching termite swarming season, but don't panic. There is a solution.
No, that's right. There really is. If the home hasn't been treated with a professional strength ground barrier termiticide in last 5 years,
okay,
you need to come see us.
And for someone thinking, man, can I do this myself? Isn't this complicated? What's your response?
This is not brain surgery.
All right.
We're talking about digging a trench, 4 inches deep, 4 to 6 inches wide, right up next to the slab, and going all the way around the structure.
And how does the product work?
It's simple. We'll apply with a hose end sprayer and calibrated according to label, and that treatment will last 12 to 14 years.
So if we're in the New Orleans area, where can I get it?
Well, in Metairie, we're located at 3512 Severn Avenue, right where the Pepper Mill used to be. On the North Shore, we're at 1417 North Highway 190 in the same shopping center as Sherwin-Williams. And on the West Bank, we're on La Palco, just past the Harvey Bridge.
And at Pest Stop?
We can help you with that.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard, your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1920. 26 Airline Drive in Metairie.
You can't miss a moment with Greeny.
Belichick could play in our world here in media, but I don't think he will.
I have a solution. We have a whole new frontier of media right now.
You should have a podcast
with Nick Saban. Who's not listening to the Belichick Saban podcast? It's whatever topics you want.
Do they need a host?
They need a host.
I could do that.
Of course you could do that.
This is a very good idea. Hey, Bubba, get CAA on the phone.
Saban is down.
I don't know anything to that.
Greeny, weekday mornings at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can watch and listen on the ESPN app.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the over with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. We are live at the Fairway Club. Oh, my goodness, Rafael Esparza, I don't know. Would you like to smoke pulled pork tacos, pork griots and grits, Greek salad with hummus? Got a little prime filet on a Hawaiian roll with cream spinach, barbecue shrimp. These are all the different things you could have tasted if you managed to venture out here. How are you today?
I wasn't invited, so I didn't know you were there.
You weren't invited. I told you you could come. You told me you were doing something like rugby or like cricket odds or something. I told you I have a pass for you. You could have absolutely come.
I don't even remember that conversation. I did do some other NFL draft odds, but I did do that today. So I was a little bit busy this morning. But I was busy this morning.
Okay, well, that's good. What did you think overall yesterday, man? I mean, do people wager on picks on like 1, 2, and 3 and how many quarterbacks go? Like, are there prop bets on like what conference gets the most players, things of that nature?
We actually had pretty much over 2,500 different ways to bet the NFL draft yesterday. So
wow. Did you just say 2,500?
Yeah, 2,500.
Wow. Okay.
So it went well. I mean, some books said they broke even. Some books said they lost small. Some books said we have to thank the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, it could have been, I think, after their blow up that they did, I think that kind of hurt a lot of people's mock drafts, if you want to call it that way, or stuff like that. So that was kind of interesting on them. So I think that has a lot to do why we probably had an okay NFL draft.
Look, you said obviously the Falcons kind of making one of those. What do you make of the, I guess, philosophy of what Raheem Moore said? And look, I understand it too as well in terms of, you know what, here, let me play what Raheem Moore had to say and we can talk about it.
It was pretty simple about short-term winning. You talk about winning right now, which we know we're going to be in a position to do, which we want to be in a position to do. We won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guy that we got. And these guys go off the board pretty quickly, and we thought it would be important for us to address our future quarterback right now while we're picking this low in these moments and to be able to move forward. You know, fortunately enough with us, we got a Kirk Cousin in the building. We got a guy that can go out there and win football games, and we should be picking high enough. We talk about winning the South, these things. That includes going to the playoffs. You just seen six quarterbacks go off the board before the 12th pick of the draft. And we don't want to be picking on it anymore. And Terry's done a nice job of getting us some really good players, some quality players, but we don't want to be back in that position. So like, let's move forward, think about the future, address that right now.
What do you make of that?
I mean, right now it looks bad, but let's say Kirk and he does well. Then the Falcons are giving us the middle finger and say, hey, we planned it. I understand it. I heard from today and even saw it on TV that they had Michael Penix really, really high on their draft board. Thought that he was maybe the second best quarterback besides JT Daniels. They ranked him high. They loved the interviews that they did with him. So right now it looks dumb, but the NFL, anything can happen. What if Kirk Cousins gets hurt in training camp, or he's coming off an Achilles? I don't think he had the same Achilles support than Aaron Rodgers. So we have no idea how he's going to come back for this. So right now it looks weird, but anything in the most overrated TV show events, NFL draft, can happen.
It's not overrated. It is. It's massive. There's growth. There's 250,000 over in Detroit, and you're just
that was crazy. Seeing all those people there.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. I don't understand why you don't like it. I mean, what else were you doing last night? Honestly,
there were some great NHL playoff games, the NBA. There was some great baseball on there. The Cubs swept the Astros yesterday. Hey. I am not going to watch.
Yes,
where 90% of these first round people will probably be flops. I am not watching.
All right, fine. Let's get to something that actually matters, because the mayor of London is using the NFL and WrestleMania to try to get reelected next week. He says, if I get reelected, I want WrestleMania. I saw Triple H quote tweet him and said, let's talk. He said he wants the Super Bowl in London as well. Roger Goodell yesterday on the NFL going international.
Well, I think the number one thing is you keep your eye on the game, right? If the game doesn't stay strong, then I think all those things become more challenging for us. We really do believe we can be a global sport. So I see us playing at least 16 games on the road at some point in time.
Okay.
And on an international market. That may be 10 years out. But I see us getting there at some point. Will a franchise ever happen or a division? Maybe. I think that's beyond 10 years. So.
Yeah, that's going to be really tough, right? Logistically?
It's got a lot of challenges competitively. The logistics, I think we can solve. The competitive side, you get to a Sunday night at the end of the regular season, you say, okay, Seattle, you're going to London. That's a rough one.
Raphael, he didn't say no. He said it's about 10 years away. The league just got to get more competitive. Look. Are we going to see the Super Bowl in London?
No. I don't think we see the Super Bowl in London. And if there is an out-of-USA team, it would be either a Canada or Mexico, which the Raiders were really, really close to going to Mexico, that people don't understand, realize
really?
That. So, no, I don't see a team going to London. We'll have games there, but there's no way there's going to be a team that relocates to London or an expansion team. Mexico and Canada, maybe, but I don't see London being. Can you imagine? The Super Bowl would never be in London. There's no way that they'll pick a Super Bowl there.
Right, let me ask you this, because it doesn't make much sense. Seven teams, not even, which means you got to go to 18 games as far as the commissioner. On if the season will be expanded.
I think we're good at 17 now, but listen, we're looking at how we continue. I'm not a fan of the preseason. I don't think we need preseason.
Waste of time, right, and energy.
I don't buy it, and I don't think these guys like it either.
Well, they have to spend full price for the tickets for those games.
No, they're actually discounted now. The reality is, I think I'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season any day. That's just picking quality, right? So if we got to 18-2, that's not an unreasonable thing. The other thing it does, which I thought you were going to, is that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a three-day weekend, which makes the Sunday night, and then you have Monday off. So that's...
Wow.
Now we're cooking.
That sounds like I've been thinking about it. Look, 18-2 make a lot of sense for me. I like what he says there. As a fan, and we always love to boo the commissioner, I think I have to be happy to hear I'm not a fan of the preseason. Do you think they need to go to 18-2?
Only if they expand the rosters. I mean, then you have to expand the rosters for an extra game. I'm tired of these people like, oh, we lost because this guy was hurt, this guy. Well, now you have enough people to solidify. If someone gets hurt, you have more people that can fill in. Right. I'm not the biggest fan of preseason games either. But, wow, are you trying to tell me the NFL is going to be the only sport that won't have a preseason, a pro sport that does not have preseason? That would be very interesting. But the NFL makes the rules up. They hijack every other sport. So I'm sure that they'll do something.
All right. Makes a lot of sense here as well. All right, let's do it. Your job. NBA playoffs tonight, sir. Got a couple of games. Got the Pelicans tomorrow. Let's start with them. Do the Pels make this a 2-1 series?
I hope so, but I said yesterday that I took the +1 with Denver Nuggets, and then you go on the road and steal it. I think OK steals this one. If the only way New Orleans wins this one, if they win by double digits, they blow them out completely off the floor. If it's a close game, I see SGA and them winning a close one. The Pelicans need to blow them out and show them early that, hey, this is our home court. If not, if it's a close game, I can see SGA taking over in the fourth.
All right. I'd like to see them win at least one or two. If they can somehow win tomorrow, steal Monday, and I know the word steal at home sounds weird, but if you can steal Monday, then you're over there, you're the best road team of the season. A little more pressure probably goes to OKC. You know, so
drive the lane, go to the free throw line. Stop shooting threes when you're not hot. That's what I want the Pelicans to do. Go to the free throw line.
If you only had 3-point shooters, if you only had 3-point shooters, Jack Calotta Jr. is joining us. If we only had 3-point shooters.
I was going to say, Raphael, what's your handicap line on this? Because I got to my 1:30 shift to start with Gus 3 minutes early, so I'm going to go grab a water real quick. But I'll leave you with this thought. unless Trey Murphy makes eight threes, we ain't winning this game.
Now, if you only had 3-point shooting.
Hey, I completely agree. You need eight from Trey Murphy.
Money's coming in New Orleans right now. There's one sports book that has a pick 'em right now. I saw a nice, I think it was a $45,000 bet coming in on the Pels. I think the money will come in on the Pelicans.
Do you see any line moving?
Yeah, the line. I think more money is going to probably continue to come in on the Pels. Would not be shocked if all of them go to pick them today.
So what do you think it's going to be, a tip-off?
I think we'll see either Pels 1 or OKC 1, one of the two. If I can get +1 or +2 with OKC, I'm jumping on SGA. I'm sorry. No offense.
All right, no, that's fine. Bucks and Pacers tonight, Indiana, 6.5-point favorites.
This one was 5 this morning. Everyone's on a Pacers. Pacers blow up Milwaukee. Milwaukee looks old. Indiana has a big game tonight.
Clippers and Mavericks, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Dallas, 4.5-point favorites.
I like Dallas. I'm waiting to see how high. 5 just popped up at Caesars. I might take the Clippers +5.
And the T-Wolves, a 2-0 series lead against the Suns, 4.5-point favorites.
Even though I love watching Minnesota play, I think Phoenix win this one, but I think it's going to be a close game. I'll take the plus points, but Phoenix wins.
I will say this, as I was driving today, in the middle of all of the NFL draft chatter, they just had to do one segment. Which NBA superstar is heading out to L.A.? So is it Giannis? I saw Giannis out there, saw Dame Time, saw Kyrie Irving. Everyone apparently is going to L.A. Do you think that happens, or do the Lakers just cut bait with AD and LeBron? The only reason I bring that up, because if they do that, the Pels own a couple of Lakers picks.
If they do try to run it all back, I think Trey Young will probably be that, or maybe one of the guards from Chicago. I don't think the Greek Freak's going to go there. I don't think Dame Time's going to. Dame Time's either coming to your backyard or Miami. That's what I'm hearing. But I don't think Dame Time goes to
LA. You think Dame Time?
Look at Trae Young.
You think Dame Time could come to New Orleans?
I'm hearing New Orleans and Miami are if he wants really out in Milwaukee, keep an eye out for those two teams.
Wow. Rafael Esparza at VSI Doc Sports is the way to give a follow. And, of course, that free daily video over on Instagram where he breaks down the seventh round of the NFL draft. Isn't that what you're doing? Right?
Oh, I can't wait.
That's all the time we got for you. That's it. We'll see you later, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it so much. Hour two is brought to you by Chris's Paving in New Orleans. By your regions, they are the people for you. Asphalt, concrete, go to chrispaving.com. You can find out all the things that they have to do for you. Mention the show as well. We appreciate it. Leo Haggerty, we'll try to get in touch with him. He covers the NFC South. What did the Bucs do? What did the Falcons do? We play what Raheem Morris had to say. Jack Alotta Jr. is now joining us here as well. We'll talk his thoughts here as well. And the phone lines are open. We'll mix it all in together as well. And the Rudiman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Visit us at Boomtown New Orleans Casino this spring for all the hoops and hockey playoff action. We've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus we're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Boomtown New Orleans Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21, gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
It's Ram Truck Month at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Rams. Long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Whether you need a truck for work or home life, the Ram will do its job. Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
It's Gus Kattengell with the Sports Hangover. Join us for Thursdays with the crew of Katie's. Every Thursday, we'll be live at a member of the Katie's family of restaurants from 12 to 3. Whether it's Katie's on Iberville, Francesca's Deli on Harrison, or Bienview on Hickory. Enjoy lively sports banter with delicious eats. Join us as we talk about the latest from our local teams, and you'll likely hear me argue with Scott Craig about his St. Louis Cardinals and my Chicago Cubs. Good thing he's a Brother Martin grad. Thursdays from 12 to 3 is the Sports Hangover with the crew of Katie's on ESPN New Orleans.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
We're live at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Round two is underway. As Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry have reached the top of the leaderboard. Jack Alotta Jr., they were 11 under. They're 13 under. They're tied with Ray and Lipsky.
Yep.
Man, look, hey, if you're the Zurich Classic leader, we'll get to you in a quick sec, but you got those two guys. You got an Open Championship winner in Shane Lowry. I would say the face of definitely the fight between LIV Tour and PGA. I mean, Rory McIlroy became the face of the PGA. To have them here in New Orleans and then to have them playing well, you see the galley. I mean, you see the amount of people walking around.
Yeah.
It's very easy to see where they're on the course. They teed off in the morning today. The afternoon yesterday, but to see them on the top of the leaderboard now look, these scores could go, but Steve Worthy, tournament director, said the wind's picking up today and it's going to pick up over the weekend, so there's a good shot going into the weekend, Jack, that, you know, the ticket that you want to come see, they're going to be competing for the championship
without question. I mean, getting Rory McIlroy at this event, it took a fight. And I think you're one step closer, as crazy as it sounds, to getting Tiger Woods here. We were talking about it yesterday with a couple Four Kids Foundation members. Obviously, Zurich Classic and all the money raised for children's charities
and you're
in New Orleans.
The Four Kids Foundation there as well. I see the lanyard, sir, so you're one of the ones that donate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. But look, getting Rory here is getting one step closer to getting Tiger here. 3, 4, 5 years from now, and maybe the final year before he hangs up the bag. But how cool would it be to have Tiger Woods and Charlie Woods here? But look, let me say this.
Wow, could you imagine them as a team?
An unbelievable.
That's one of those I'm broadcasting with, because that goes on my belt.
It would be unreal. But look, thank your lucky stars this year. That's why they're the sold-out crowd. Unbelievable weather out here.
Yeah.
When you have Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry at the top, along with Cantlay and Schauffele, and if Zalatoris and Thigala can hang up there, those are three massive team names that, man, if you have any of those guys at the top of the leaderboard, whether they win or not,
you're
going to have a blast out here Saturday and Sunday. And it's great to see, like Davis Riley and Nick Hardy, who won the event last year, it's great to see these guys who are kind of no-namers amongst general golf fans come alive here at TPC of Louisiana.
You know what's nice here is we welcome in Leo Haggerty. Amped Up Sports covers the NFC South for us here as hell. We're not sweating.
No.
It's perfect weather-wise, low to no humidity, breezy. It is beautiful, Leo. And more importantly, the Saints didn't mess it up. They picked the tackle. How are you today, Leo?
Gus, I'm fine. And again, not too many times I could pat myself on the back, but I pretty much nailed that draft.
Leo, let's kind of start obviously with the team you cover based out of Tampa there with the Buccaneers. They went center. What do you make of their pick?
Yeah, we kind of figured it would either be a center or an edge rusher. And again, when you look at what was happening with the draft, the first 12 picks, three offensive tackles, three wide receivers, six quarterbacks. So there was some still people on the board when the Bucs got the pick at 26. And, again, there were some issues with the Oregon center out there, Johnson. And so I think they took the right guy. This is the closest guy they're going to get to Ryan Jensen. You know, one of those guys that's just mean, nasty, and tough to play center.
And, look, and I think that was one of the things that was interesting that Dennis Allen said about Fuaga, that he was a culture kind of setting kind of player here as well in building that offensive line. Look, the Bucs made a little investment there with their quarterback in Baker Mayfield and making sure that he's protected one way, shape, or form as well. What do you make of Atlanta? Because, sir, I didn't have time to find the bite. But on Monday, when you joined us, and I mentioned there's a lot of chatter that the Falcons could go Penix with eight, what did you tell us?
I said, don't be surprised. Again, you've got a head coach there, Raheem Morris, who is thinking for the future. Everybody's grading the Falcons as a C or a C-minus at that. That is an A grade, guys. And here's why. You're not going to have to play this guy for at least a year, maybe two. And if you look at the quality quarterbacks in the NFL right now, none of them were thrown into the fire immediately. Mahomes sat, Aaron Rodgers sat. If you look at these guys, Drew Brees, these are guys that didn't come in. They had a chance to sit there and marinate a little bit. Michael Penix will have a chance to learn from maybe the most intellectual and cerebral quarterback. Maybe not the most athletic, but I'll tell you what, there's a smarter one. I haven't seen one than Kirk Cousins. They have locked their quarterback position in probably for the next dozen years.
What do you think about the Saints taking a quarterback in this draft? I know obviously some hometowners are talking about Michael Pratt going late. Would that be a fun and or necessary decision for you to try to go get somebody late, or are we just rolling with Peterman and Hayner? Yeah.
No. You hit the nail on the head there. What you got to understand is that you always want to draft cornerbacks, and you always want to draft a quarterback in the later rounds, in 6-7, or signing a free agent, because you can never have enough of them. you're going to need three, at least three and four to get through, you know, the OTAs, the mini camp, and then when you get to fall training camp, you're going to need four quarterbacks. And there's nothing better than to sign someone in those later rounds who you didn't get a chance to look at, because that one-eyed monster up top, that's high. When you can get film on somebody, that shows you what you got.
What else stood out to you yesterday? I thought, look, obviously I look at the draft through division eyes and conference eyes first, because for the Saints to eventually get back to the good old days of trying to compete for a Super Bowl, you got to do it in that order. I thought Minnesota being able to get Dallas Turner where they got him, getting a quarterback themselves and J.J. McCarthy, and just looking overall at the NFC, how do you think the NFC did, and what teams do you think got better?
Well, you know what, Gus? The problem is with this, it's always a crapshoot. There's no one that you can say, okay, he's a can't-miss prospect. But I'll tell you what, I got to agree with you. Minnesota got better. And if Washington could pretend the Washington's getting Daniels was the best quarterback in the draft, I think the Bears do it again. I think it's Caleb Williams. I think Jaden Daniels is the best combination of passer and runner in terms of escapability and extending the plays with the feet. You get Jaden Daniels, and you also end up, oh, by the way, the guy Michael Penix is looking at all the time, Rome Odunze. And Odunze is, he's for real. I said there were three guys who could put a blanket over, Marvin Harrison, Blue Neighbors, and then Odunze. And, wow, they went in the top 9-6.
That Chicago Bears offense.
Well, yeah.
How do you think How do you think Justin Fields feels?
I know.
I mean, seriously.
I know.
They have gone out, I mean, out of their, not only out of their way, but they have made sure that you you at least have something around you on that aspect.
I would have loved to have Rome Odunze on the Saints with Olave and Shaheed, but, man, that Bears offense is dangerous.
Well, that's why I bring up the NFC thing, Jack and Leo, because, I mean, by the way, these are teams the Saints are playing again this year. So it's one of those things where I'm looking at it, and I never would have thought that. I don't think that's ever happened, huh, guys, where you had 13 straight offensive players taken. If you'd have told me yesterday the Saints would have had a chance to pick the next Micah Parsons, the next Bosa, the next, you know, lockdown corner, they had a chance to pick the number one defensive player in this year's draft, but couldn't. That pretty much summarizes where the Saints are right now.
Yep.
You know what, Gus? It doesn't necessarily summarize where the Saints are. It summarizes where the NFL is. Right now, you're not trying to defend. You're trying to outscore people, because just all the rules favor the offense in college and in the NFL. So, yeah, I was surprised it went that long, but I was not surprised that that's the way it's going, that offensive players are being looked at more closely than defensive players, because, hey, you got to score points to win in the NFL.
Leo Haggerty, as always, man, appreciate the time. Amped Up Sports, we will talk to you again next week, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
I will, Dustin. Hey, by the way, stick a fork in the Lakers. They're done.
Oh, that makes me so happy to hear that. Poor LaBoo-Boo. Thank you, Leo. Appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Yeah, for sure. It was interesting driving over here. Like, they had to sneak it in. One of those segments, Jack, about which star is going to go. Giannis, Dane, Kyrie. Do people really want to go to L.A. and play there?
I mean,
at this point with him?
I guess living in L.A. is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think Austin Reeves is having the time of his life.
No, I'm sure.
You know?
He's got those two guys.
Yeah.
Too. Like,
yeah.
Is Austin Reeves going to have the time of his life if, I don't say, LeBron is no longer there?
No. I mean, look, I think being the third or fourth guy, right, or the fifth guy on the Lakers has to be a blast, because the pressure is all off.
Well, unless you're D'Angelo Russell.
Right. everything can be blamed on
AD first.
LeBron and AD.
Darvin Ham, whoever the coach is.
Yeah. And you're just living in L.A. and wearing a Lakers jersey.
They're going to find a guard they don't like either. You know, it was Westbrook, and then it was obviously the other side there as well. So we'll look at that more than anything else. Who would you have taken if you're in that room? And they say, making him go, man, guys, we can take a defensive player. Any defensive player. Because you would have been the first team to take a defensive player. Who would you have taken?
Who would I have taken of the defensive players?
The entire defensive side of the football.
I would have taken Jared Verse from Florida State.
Jared Verse over Dallas Turner, over Byron Murphy, over Latu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I also like Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama.
Isn't that incredible, though? Like, if I'd have told you they could have taken literally the top defensive player at his position, but you had to pass.
Yeah. I wanted Brock Bowers. But I don't know. I like the pick. It was necessary.
You had to do it.
But what he should have said was, instead of with the 14th pick in the 2024 NFL, he should have said with the most boring pick in the 2024 NFL draft.
Hey,
the Saints select.
Well, he had addressed your stuff earlier.
Caliese.
And see what happens. Jeff Boggs next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's Greg LeBlanc Toyota's spring cleaning sale going on now with over 200 new Toyotas to choose from. Check it out. Like the all-new redesigned 2024 Toyota Tacoma and the Grand Highlander. And also, you get 0% financing currently available with the 2024 Toyota Tundra.
And remember,
every new Toyota comes with 2 years free maintenance. Visit GregLeBlancToyota.com
or stop by 220 South Hollywood Road
to save big, big on your next vehicle.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs, and we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
Driveways, pave it. Parking lots, pave it. Streets, pave it. Whatever you have Chris's Paving, the expert paving contractor, pave it. Locally owned and operated, Chris's Paving started in 97. Driveways, overlays, parking lot resurfacing, asphalt, or concrete, which only an expert can deliver. No jobs too big or too small. The asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the Bayou region. Paving it? Call 985-960-2131 or just roll on over to chrispaving.com. Now,
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. There is no better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. Sports Hangover, Jeff Boggs, each and every day at 1:45. Joins us to preview some things, to have fun with the ESPN. And ESPN Bet, right across me, I see ESPN Bet the tents on the other side of the ninth green over there. Sir, how are you today?
Real good, thank you very much. Glad to hear you're back out at the course. How's the CPC looking?
Sir, let's start with the NBA playoffs, shall we? Let's look at the games tonight, and we will go in order of when they start. 4:30 p.m., you got the Bucks and the Pacers. What do you see on that one?
What I see is an unusually early start. I wouldn't have bet on that until I saw it this morning. But 4:30 our time, 5:30 on, well, Eastern time zone where Indianapolis is. But Indiana, 6.5-point favorite today. The over-under, 223.5. Money line has the Pacers at minus 230, plus 190 for Milwaukee. Giannis still out. The number 6 Pacers hosting number 3.
They split the two games in Milwaukee. Pacers rebounded big time in game two, 125 to 108. And again, Giannis has definitely been ruled out. There have been some hope maybe as of yesterday, but they ruled him out. The Bucks have hit the first half game total under and 34 in their last 57 games. The Pacers, they've hit the team total over in 26 of their last 39 games at home. A couple of things to think about. Damian Lillard has been the best player, obviously, without Giannis. He's fearless with ball, scores from all three levels consistently. And again, averaging 34.5 points, 5 boards, and 4 assists in these first two games. So definitely one to look out for. And for the Pacers, it's going to be Pascal Siakam. He's keeps torching Milwaukee. He's been the Pacers' top playmaker this series due to his diverse offensive attack and ability to finish with either hand in the paint. Been getting to his spots really easily, leading the team in both scoring and rebounds through the two games. Center Miles Turner, force on this one. Pretty much like the Pacers here at home tonight, minus 6.5.
Jeff, Clippers Mavericks, your thoughts on that one?
Okay, Clippers Mavericks, 4.5 point underdogs are the Clippers in this one. Again, a series tied at 1 apiece. Dallas minus 4.5, the over-under 211.5, money line minus 190. A couple of things to think about in this one. Dallas 34-19 against the spread this season at home, where they're back at home. And the Clippers 3-2 against the spread this season against the Mavs. Luka Doncic continues to show why he's one of the best players in the NBA. The 25-year-old now, he threads the needle as a passer, scoring from everywhere. Though two games this season, he leads the team in scoring, 32.5 in the postseason, 9.5 rebounds. Then the Clippers, you're looking for Paul George, still an athletic two-way threat in the front court, still plays some pretty defense. He's averaging 22 points in the series, 4 boards, 3.5 assists, and guard James Harden can still dominate. He's really picked it up in these first two games. 25 points per game, 8 assists per, couple of blocks. Again, this one, I think, a little tougher to call. I think the Clippers cover that 4.5.
And as if we don't have enough things to talk about with Zurich Classic, Jazz Fest, NBA games, what are your thoughts for the hockey fans out there on the NHL Avalanche game?
Okay, here we go again. A series tied at 1. Going back to Colorado, last meeting, Colorado won 5-2, and that's a number I really like in this one. The over-under is 6.5. Colorado's favored by 1.5 points. The money line, minus 160 plus 135. And one of the reasons I like Colorado, when I think about hockey, you got to remember the empty net. I always worry about that. You've got a one-goal lead, or you're trailing by a goal, and you empty that net too often, I think it's a killer of games. And for some reason, I just like Colorado with a 1.5 point advantage and winning this game by 2 or 3 like they did the other night. The Avalanche had the second-best home record in the NHL, although they did struggle against Winnipeg this season. I think 3-0, they got seriously outscored. But again, the Avalanche had the second-best home record in the NHL, lost 2 games against Winnipeg. But again, I like Colorado to cover that 1.5 tonight.
Forgot to ask you about the T-Wolves and the Suns here as well. That's a 9:30 game. Hopefully I won't be falling asleep by that. I'm tired as it is. But I'm a bit surprised how Minnesota's been able to handle Phoenix in that one. They're up 2-0 in this series. How do you see this one?
Okay, Phoenix minus 4.5, 4.5. The over-under 207.5, minus 180 on the money line. Phoenix, that is, plus 150 for Minnesota. Timberwolves led the NBA in defensive efficiency. 108.4 points per 100 possessions. And Phoenix, look at Kevin Durant ranking 5th in the league in scoring, 27 plus a game. And again, despite the results of the first two games, Phoenix knows it owned Minnesota during the regular season back at home. And Minnesota, widely regarded as the best defensive team in the league, as mentioned. But again, I like the Phoenix Suns rebounding at home pun intended, give up the 4.5 points.
Hey, my man, if I want to get involved in ESPN bets, I could walk to the tent right across the way. I see the guys, they have little tablets on. They'll sign you up right then and there. Well, what was that?
They let you hit a shot, and if you hit it on the green after three tries, you play number 9 at the Zurich Classic on the simulator, you get a free drink.
Wow. Well, there you go. Jeff Boxey should be out here over here. Again, you didn't get the memo. You didn't get the memo. But
I
if people
the wrong weekend. I'll be in New Orleans next weekend for Jazz.
But I hear you, sir. No, how people can get involved?
Yeah, if you can't get to the tent, download the app. Of course, it's free to download. The exclusive sports book of ESPN. It's got it all, including exclusive offers, promotions from guys like Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. No better time to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Again, download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Terms and conditions do apply. Check out the app for all the details, or again, find the tent. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And we appreciate our partner with LaBerge Lake Charles. Enjoy your weekend, Gus.
Thank you. You do as well, sir. As Jeff Box from our sister station, KNAE. For ESPN Bets. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. As we are here at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Again, the leaderboard, man. The leaderboard. McElroy, Lowry, Ray, Lipsky, 13 under, tied for the lead. Jack Colotta Jr. joining us here as well. Part of the Four Kids Foundation here as well, man. Just absolutely gorgeous weather. But to have that leaderboard you have is, as you said, is pretty
pristine.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Good combination of big names and new names. So, can't complain. And I like the guys at the top. And like I said, I want Zalatoris and Thigala to make a run. And yep. Cantlay and Schauffele and McElroy and Lowry to stay at the top.
Love that, man. We're going to talk a lot more about the NFL draft. Marlin Faber at 2:15. Phone lines are open in the first hour. Phone lines are open at 2:30 here as well. Join us. Give us a buzz on the Rudiman Can Hotline. Hour 2 is brought to you by Chris's Paving. New Orleans and Bayou region, asphalt, concrete, they are your people. Go to chrispaving.com, and Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. As always, we appreciate what they do as well. Rudiman Can Hotline, if you want to call us. Saints fans, what do you think? What do you want to see tonight? Do you want to see the Saints get in the third round? Do you want to trade Jack Colotta, myself, the mascot, maybe some New Orleans roast coffee for whatever to get a third-round pick? What do you need to do?
I could use some PJs right now, I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you what, some Southern Pecan is right up my alley right now. Chocolate beignet, though, I'm telling you. Have you had a chocolate beignet?
No.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing.
Prime time?
You don't know what you're missing. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
Listen up. Listen up, everybody. Golden Motors has 2.9% financing for 72 months on all 2024 15 Silverado models for qualifying customers through GM Financial. In case you missed that, I'll say it again. Golden Motors has 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on all 2024 models. This deal is good through April 30th at Golden Motors, Highway 3235 on the back road, and cut off Chevy together. Let's drive. Price is priority. Not compatible with any other incentives.
A strong defense wins the game. Don't wait for rising water. Call Associated Pump and Supply today. From large-scale municipal dewatering projects to smaller residential jobs.